Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm John Cook, and I'm joined today by Haley Orr in MUFG's Capital Markets Strategy Group. It's Thursday, October 6th, 2022. Welcome back to the podcast, Haley.
Great to be back. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're very welcome. And it's been a while, so I'm excited. And specifically because your most recent presentation entitled Casualties of Tightening is super interesting. As you know, it opens with a section called Synchronicity, which I actually pronounced correctly, which is great. And you guys show a remarkable year-to-date sell-off in nearly every risk asset on the planet. For our listeners' sake, why don't we dig into this a bit more and help us understand the synchronized risk-off move we've seen so far this year?
We like to include the tongue twisters, and now it'll be up to me to try and pronounce synchronicity correctly. So well done on that front. What I would say is that we've seen a remarkable synchronicity, not just in risk assets, but also in the economy and markets. And that's what's feeding through and driving risk assets. Inflation globally is increasing in a synchronized manner. And while in the US, we've seen indicators that we are at or past peak, Europe and the UK in particular are not yet at their peak. So we'll see these inflation challenges from a global perspective continue. Secondly, as you see global inflation as a challenge, you see global policy response in global policy synchronized in response. You see this tightening as a sort of response to the extraordinary measures that we saw to push liquidity into the system during COVID. You're now seeing that same synchronized pullback and tightening in policy from almost every major central bank globally. Well, what do you have when you have inflation that is high and you have global policy that is tightening rapidly? You see a global growth deceleration. We are of the view that while recessions are rare, both US and global recessions, we are of the view that we are likely to have a US and global recession in the next 12 months. In the US, that recession may be more mild, but there will be parts of the world, particularly across Europe, where this recession is likely to be more challenging and last longer. So as a result of that synchronized higher inflation, synchronized policy tightening, and then synchronized growth deceleration, you're seeing risk assets act in a synchronized manner. Risk assets are taking their cues heavily from government bond markets. And so we're seeing broad-based deleveraging and de-risking. It's pretty remarkable when you actually look at the data on this. The only asset classes that are in the green, so to speak, year to date from a risk asset perspective are the US dollar, which is up 17 to 18% year to date and closer to 20% over the last 12 months. And then selected commodities, which shouldn't surprise us given that this crisis is unfolding in Ukraine and has caused a subsequent energy crisis across Europe. So the areas where you're seeing outperformance, the US dollar, direct response to the Fed tightening cycle, and then across commodities like coal, natural gas, oil, and agriculture. I do want to note this is not always all negative. This year, the synchronicity has been for risk assets selling off. You can see this synchronicity on the upside as well. And I think we saw glimpses of that at the start of this week.
Yeah, absolutely. There's been a very strong rebound for sure. But really bold call there. I mean, certainly makes sense. But you are, again, I'll repeat, you are of the view that the both the global economy and the U.S. falls into recession within the next 12 months. You spoke a little bit about this in your previous answer, but let's talk a little bit more about that second point you mentioned, the global policy tightened. How does this tightening cycle differ from the ones we've seen in the past?
Well, it differs on a global scale from the fact that you have 90 major central banks tightening at the same time. And then it also differs in terms of the global pace. Of those 90 major central banks, almost 50 are tightening in 75 BIP increments or more. And as we all know, we have several global central banks that are tightening in 100 basis point increments. From a US side as well, the US, which started the cycle very much behind the curve, is now tightening with the largest and fastest tightening cycle that we've seen in 40 years. Just to give a little bit of data behind that, since the 1980s, Fed tightening cycles have averaged about 300 basis points from start to finish, and typically about 200 basis points of that happens in the first year. So they tend to be front-loaded in nature. Well, we've already tightened 300 basis points in this cycle, and the Fed is projecting that we'll tighten 450 basis points. So we are moving at both the fastest pace as well as the largest pace that we have seen in 40 years.
Yeah, you have a really great graph that visually shows the Fed's tightening cycle, you know, this cycle versus others. And you can just visually see that this is the fastest pace since 1972, which is just absolutely amazing. You know, continuing on, in your publication, you show a timeline of past casualties of tightening cycles. What areas of the market are bearing the brunt in this cycle?
Yeah, and I want to be clear here. We're not blaming the Fed or blaming central banks for every one of these tightening casualties that have happened. There are numerous market factors. There are numerous economic and policy factors that go into the need for tightening cycles. But the fact is, if you look back at history, there are numerous examples where global central banks have tightened quickly, and you have seen the fallout in various asset classes or various financial crises around the world. This time around, we are seeing those casualties play out in numerous areas. We already talked about the tremendous sell-off we've seen across risk asset, the tremendous, I mean, in terms of both its synchronicity and also the size of the sell-off in some asset classes. So we've spoken about that already. But then I also want to highlight some of the issuance data that we've seen this year. The equity market issuance this year is down 80%, high yield debt issuance down 78%, global bond issuance down 30%. Remarkable slowdown. Some of that, of course, is attributed to the pre-funding that we saw during the COVID period, but a lot of it is a response to the tightening environment and higher funding costs. Now, the other area I think it's important to focus on is the US dollar. I mentioned the US dollar is up around 20% in the last 12 months. As a result of that, you're seeing what we're calling reverse currency wars. These other currencies around the world realizing that they need to intervene to head off the challenges of a significantly stronger dollar. Japan, I think, is a great example of this. You saw Japan intervene in currency markets for the first time in 25 years. Similarly, the Bank of England, I think we were all acutely focused on the Bank of England actions that were taken last week as a result of the gilt sell-off that we saw. So you see this playing out over issuance data. You see it playing out in the strength of the US dollar. Looking ahead, we're starting to see the challenges play out in the investment grade credit market. Investment grade credit markets have been remarkably resilient up until this point. Essentially, anything that the market threw at them, investment grade market was able to handle that. Investment grade market only down from an issuance perspective about 15% this year. Remarkable resilience when you compare it to some of the data on high yield and global issuance. But in September, traditionally one of the most robust issuance periods of the year, we saw a remarkable slowdown. September volume this year was just $80 billion of new issuance in the US dollar market. That's half of what the market had been expecting. The market had been expecting $140 to $150 billion. We got just over $80 billion. Similarly, investment grade spreads crossed the psychologically important 150 basis point level. I want to emphasize, investment grade markets are still open. They are still orderly. But you are starting to see these challenges precipitate into the IG credit market. The other area it's really important to keep an eye on here going forward is corporate earnings. Corporates have had a remarkable buildup in their so-called fortress balance sheets up until this point. They have been very strong. Balance sheets for corporates remain strong, but we are likely to see corporate earnings revised down for the 2023 period. Funding costs are rising. Labor costs are rising. They have been very high and very sticky. Input costs are higher and will also stay sticky. And again, we have this strong US dollar, which is a drag on earnings. All of those things have not yet fully been priced into earnings expectations for next year. And we expect that to be a challenge going forward.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. And then, you know, you've got financial conditions. They've tightened back above their levels, you know, from 2020. And as we've discussed, risk assets have sold off across the market this year. So I guess the question is, you know, do you expect the Fed to pivot course and you know, when near, you know, in the near term or perhaps further out?
Yeah. And again, we talked a little bit about the rally that we saw Monday, Tuesday of this week. And I think that that was a direct response of the market saying, well, maybe bad news is good news. Maybe we will see a bit of a pivot here or a blink from the Fed. Maybe this action by the Bank of England stepping in is an indicator to what the other global central banks are going to do. And I would caution against that view. The Fed has been very clear that they are prioritizing stamping out inflation. The Fed speak has indicated quite clearly that they are going to continue on their hiking path and they are going to try and stay higher for longer. We think that markets should prepare for the Fed to continue their hiking trajectory through the course of this year. And we still could see that peak come around Q1 of 2023. But keep in mind, the Fed is going to stick to this line of higher for longer as they prioritize inflation over other parts of the market.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, you know, the markets are so conditioned on you know, this Fed put, but the Fed put was conditional on low inflation. You know, we have nothing like that. So that makes a ton of sense. You know, for more information, I really would encourage our listeners to see the recently released and very comprehensive publication, Casualties of Tightening, the Historic Rise in Global Central Policy Rates. And if you aren't receiving MUFG Capital Market Strategy publications, please feel free to get in touch with Haley directly. Great stuff as always. Thanks again, Haley.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.